Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 27, and I don't edit this podcast at all. Occasionally, if I have to cough, I will just pause it and go right back. But today, I had trouble getting my theme song going on my flute. I couldn't get the proper notes going, so I had to start over. It was on the third take, I got it. So maybe I need to practice some more. And I was just practicing right before I started this podcast. But, you know, hey, the good news is none of this matters. I didn't even have to tell you this. You're probably thinking, why is he telling me this? Why do I need to know that he did the flute in the third take? I don't need to know this. Saying again. It's a happy Memorial Day. Can you say happy Memorial Day? Does happy soldiers that are dead day? I mean, I don't know. It's sort of have a, I don't know what you say. I know that it is Memorial Day, and it is to commemorate the fallen troops and the history of this country. And, of course, most of us don't think about that. What we think about is, what am I going to eat? What garbage can I shove into my mouth? What kind of barbecue sugary things and ice cream? I need ice cream. And I've got to admit, I have been I've been messing around with the sugar. I've been, the last couple weeks, I've been messing a little bit. I usually only have it once a week. And I, for some reason, I've been having a little bit almost every day. I guess I was experimenting to see if I, you know, if I could drive myself crazy. And I am planning to, after Memorial Day, to go on a no sugar, no sweets, I should say. There may be some sugar in some of my food. I don't know. Food. My voice cracked. But as far as, like, you know, sweet dessert type things, I'm going to go four weeks. I'm just going to do that. I want to get back to resisting. I've lost a lot of weight, and there's one of the things I've actually gotten off on during this time is being able to resist the temptation to eat sugar. It makes me feel good. So like I want sugar, and I don't know. You know, I quit drugs and alcohol years ago, which was my sober birthday this past week. Thank you very much. Thank you, And I have no desire for drugs and alcohol. But when it comes to sugary stuff, I can go without it, you know, for a while and be cool and not even think about it. And then it'll just come to me. I want some Häagen-Dazs. I want some Hag. I like an ice cream that's called Häagen-Dazs, because when you're eating it, you're a hog. And you're dasing. Sounds like a German word for eating. Isn't das? Das? I don't know. I have to ask my friend Rudy. Is das? Sounds like das should be German for eating. Das! No, that means, I think it's German for the. Ah, whatever. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Anyway, I've just I guess the point I'm saying, trying to make, is that my sweet tooth doesn't seem to be going away. So I have to kind of just be mindful of it. I need to be mindful of it and just, you know, give in sometimes, but mostly not give in, because it makes me nuts and it makes me fat. And I just find myself obsessing over, like, I'm going to go shopping now and I'm thinking, maybe I'll go to the cookie bin and take out one of those big chocolate chip cookies. Maybe I'll get some of that little chocolate mousse cake. Ooh, I wonder what kind of ice cream I could get. See, I'm already thinking that. So Memorial Day, another holiday. There's always a holiday. There's always a reason to eat sugar. There's always an easing. There's always a reason to eat something bad. But for the most part, I'm eating pretty healthfully. Anyway, more news of the building. Aaron and Janet will be taking over July 1st, I believe, and they are now slowly moving down from their second floor apartment to an apartment next to me, which will be nice to have them there. Aaron plays ukulele, and we've talked about possibly you know, jamming, me on the flute, him on the ukulele. And also, perhaps, you know, because I play guitar, he said he has an extra ukulele I can borrow with him sometime. We can maybe do a little ukulele jamming. So I am looking forward to that. And the big news... one thing before I get into the big news of the building is Aaron was telling me the old Russian guy in the corner who has two words, hi, hello. He said today, the guy said, good morning. So this guy is clearly studying English. And so we've got to, I got to give him some kudos, man. He's doing it. Maybe he's just kind of tired of not knowing what the hell people are talking about around here. But the big news is that this other Russian couple, the guy's name is Falik. I've talked about him before. Falik is suddenly moving. Him and his wife are moving. He told me they've gotten some kind of government subsidized housing in West Hollywood, and I think West Hollywood will be a good place for Falik to be. Not only because it has a very large Russian population, but because it's the West Hollywood is one place where I think the name Falik will truly be appreciated. Okay, if you know anything about West Hollywood, you know what I'm talking about. Let's just leave it at that. I don't have to draw anybody any pictures. If you don't know, look it up. But I understand that there's a little bit of anger on the owners of the building because Falik didn't give them any notice. He just said, "I'm leaving. Goodbye. Screw you, American." And there's probably not much they can do. You know, what are they going to do? These foreign people, they come to this country and they know how to work the system. And they know how to do things and get government subsidized housing and not keep their commitment. You know, where I think you have to do like a 1 month notice normally. They know how to get around these things. Not just Russia. I'm not just saying Russians. But, you know, people from other countries, you know, seem to be able to do that. Now, my grandparents were from Russia. They didn't do that. They were from a different time. They were a different kind of Russian. So now we're at a point in the history of this building that, since I've been living here, that I've never seen this before, where we're going to have four empty apartments at the same time. That has never, ever happened before. And it just makes me think that the owners of this building should really appreciate some of the long-term tenants that have been here, which they never have. They just kind of take it for granted, and they treat everybody. They're okay, but they kind of treat, you know, they just raise the rent every year, and they're. Yeah, I don't want to go into all that. It's so negative, but it just seemed to me that for a while this place was fully stocked, fully tenant, and my understanding the building was already paid for. I heard this through the grapevine, and so it was just, you know. So you're not getting the full, quote-unquote, full market value. But really, you know, this is an old building. The full market value for what? I mean, come on. It's a nice building. It's a cool but it's still old. It's got problems. So you should just appreciate it. If they would have just appreciate the people here and say, okay, maybe I'm making a couple hundred dollars less on each apartment or whatever, but so be it. I got the money. Now they got four empty apartments. I don't know. I'm just rambling on. Rambling and scrambling. The big news in my life is that I went this past week to see an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in hip and knee surgery. He's one of the top guys in the country. He works on some of the Lakers. And I went to see him last year, and I didn't have insurance then. And so now I do, and I went to see him. And he's like, okay, I would be honored. I would love to take a knife and stick it in your hip. A nice guy. He seems like he's from the East Coast. He's got that homeboy kind of vibe. You know, he's just, he said to me, man, you are messed up. And it's just like I appreciated his brutal honesty. And so I'm going to go sometime towards the latter part of July. I will keep you all informed. I'm going in for, I need both hips done, but he doesn't want to do both at once because he feels that it would be too much of a trauma to the body. So we'll do one, then we'll do the second one maybe about 3 to 6 months later. And So, and I've got Deb, my friend Deb, who does my hair. Deb, the best hairstylist. I'll say the best colorist in Hollywood. If so many celebrities, have you looked at Arnold Schwarzenegger's hair or Tom Hanks' hair? Where do they go? Do they go to somebody that goes, that just puts crayons on their head? Deb, she's a master colorist. She matches your hair. Like, if you, people don't know, if I let my hair, if I don't let my hair get out of whack, then nobody knows that this is a dye job. She's that good. And, but you know what else is she good at? She's good at many things. But she's going to be, she is my advocate during my whole hip process. And which means that she, as she says, puts it, she's the adult in the situation. And she's going to be sort of my, you know, got my back and, you know, make sure that, you know, she'll be on top of things in the hospital as much as she can be. And for the aftercare. And if I have to go stay with her and her lovely husband, Rudy, at their lovely house, I will gladly do that. But at the doctor's office, they gave me a form, a consent form that I had to sign. And I was just going to sign it. You know, it was like a couple, three pages. And I'm a big reader, but when it comes to stuff like that, I get like my, you know, my brain just shuts down. And I said, should I read this? And Deb said, yeah, why don't you read it? And the lady behind the counter, who happened to be probably one of the most gorgeous women I've ever seen in my life, no doubt, bar none. She said, yeah, I think you should read it. And I said, well, if it keeps me near her for an extra few minutes, I'll read it. And so I read it, and basically it just absolves, you know, the doctor from anything. You know, I guess it's they've had, you know, the medical profession has suffered from, you know, malpractice, you know, lawsuits and all that kind of stuff. So now you go in there and it's just like, well, you know, just know that this is a risk, and some, if something happens, it's not our fault. And I mean, basically, if they decide during surgery to eat a tuna sandwich and a pickle falls inside me and they don't see it and then they sew me back up, they're in the clear. It's my problem. And, you know, there's not much else I can, there's not much I can do. I need these people. I don't know what any other business that operates like that. I don't see, you can't go to a restaurant. You don't go to a restaurant and sign a consent form that, you know, if you happen to not like the food, if you happen to get sick from this food, we will not be held responsible. No, it's only in the medical profession have I ever seen that. So, but I think it's going to be fine. I ran to an old friend of mine this week, and she coincidentally had both hips done from the same doctor. She loves him. She loved the process. She loves life. She loves everything. She's just become a love child. And so I'm actually looking forward. I'm actually looking forward to doing this. Not so much doing it, but getting it done so that I can get back my agility and start, you know, I want to start doing stand-up. I want to travel. I want to do things. I want to get back into my life, man. You know, I'm kind of laying low, and I will continue my podcast. That is my pledge to my, and now I found out that since Aaron and Janet are listening, I have 13 to 14 listeners I know of. Actually, last night I'm on Facebook, and I was chatting with my one fan in China and one fan in India at the same time. Well, yeah, what are the odds of that? And they both know each other. They kind of grew up together. And so that was kind of interesting. So that's that. That is that on that one. And then what else happened this week was that I got into a little, minor altercation. We're talking about gay marriage. I was talking to some people about gay marriage. And I am on the side. I am for gay marriage. If gay people want to get married, go for it. I don't care. It's got nothing to do, you know, yeah, it doesn't affect me. You know, if that's what they want to do, fine. So, we're talking about that, but when it comes to gay relationships, I was just trying to, like, I'm just looking for the funny, because I'm trying to, right, come up with a bit. And I'm in this conversation, but I'm in a conversation with a politically correct woman. You know, a woman who's, you know, very politically correct, and, you know, and so I was just saying that, you know, I wish that, you know, gay people, gets kind of confusing when gay people, like, use the term husband or wife. Like, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I hung out in a cigar shop, and there was a woman that hung out there, a very nice woman, and we used to smoke cigars, and she was always talking about her husband, Dale. My husband, Dale, did this. My husband, Dale, did that. My husband, this. My husband, Dale, that. Oh, sounds like a great guy. And then one day, I go into the Chinese restaurant down the street from there, and there's two women. She's sitting there with another woman at the table, and she goes, Al, come here. I want you to meet my husband, Dale. Now, it didn't throw me to the point like I was disgusted by it, but it was a little bit like, whoa, okay, I didn't see that coming. And this person I'm talking to, the politically correct person, started kind of trying to shame me, like make it seem like I'm so, oh, she goes, oh, Al, you know, we should just all change because of you, right? Everything should just, you know. And I got a little offended by that, and I kind of knee-jerked and said something, which I ended up apologizing for later. But you know, I don't think I'm wrong. And my friend Bill said, how could you be wrong? It's just like, if you say husband or wife, those are gender specific terms. Okay. You know, if you say my uncle's coming to town, as Bill said, you're expecting a man to show up. So I just think they should come, gay people should, you know, maybe if they should, husband could be husband, a he's-bend. A wife can be a weef, a woof. I like to meet my woof. You know, and then don't get me started. Oh, partner, the term partner. I'm sorry, gay people. You have kind of ruined the term partner. I have actually gotten to the point where I've been talking to somebody, and they said, well, I'm going to talk to my partner about that. And I've said, oh, I didn't know you were gay. And they said, I'm talking about my business partner. Oh, sorry. Sorry. But, you know, many gay people use that. So I was just trying to be funny, and this person was just like, I felt like she was kind of shaming me, trying to shame me. You know, maybe she was just busting my chops, but, you know. Anyway, it worked out. It worked out. It worked out. Just not going to mention that to her anymore. And let's see. Oh, last but not least, my friend Wesley has a recipe for baked potato, which takes 5 hours to bake. You bake it at 325 for 5 hours, and he says it gets as close to restaurant style baked potato that he's been able to get. And I've been, when I have a baked potato lately, if I'm kind of jonesing for a baked potato, I will go, microwave it for like 8 minutes. And that's okay if you really, really want a baked potato. But if you really want a good one, that doesn't cut it. So I just decided to try Wesley's, his method, the 5 hour, which I call the 5 hour baked potato, which should be a book. And the first thing I noticed about the 5 hour baked potato is that one of the requirements, should be before you is that you can't be employed. You can't have a job. I mean, come on, 5 hours. I did on my day off, so I just I put the potato in the oven, and it was a cool day, cool out. So it was kind of, the oven was warming up my little studio apartment here in North Hollywood, and it was cooking. And I said to Wesley, I said, well, how do you know? You know, like how do you know if it's done? And he said, you got to check on the underside for tire tracks, you know. And I said, that's funny you should say that, because that's how I know I need to do my laundry, when I look at my underwear and see tire tracks. So anyway, I was doing the baked potato, and I kept like, 1 hour now, only 4 more to go. And, you know, I'm doing different things and blah, blah, blah. 2 more. Oh, 3 more to go. By the 4th hour, I'm getting kind of hungry. So I kind of texted him. And I said, hey, man, I'm hungry. And he goes, well, you know, open up the oven and squeeze the potato, see if it's soft. And then see if it's got the tire tracks. Again with the tire tracks. So I didn't. I squeezed it. It was soft. I didn't look for tire tracks. Before I shut the oven down, I figured, you know what, I'll just take my chances. And you know what? The potato was pretty darn good. I ate half one night and half the other night with my turkey meatloaf and salad, and it was really delicious. And I think that I will attempt to do the 5 hour at some point, because I think it would be worth going that extra hour, because I tell you, the skin was so rich. That's the thing about when you do it in the microwave, the skin is not rich. It just kind of thin, but when you bake it, it gets thick. It's like a baseball glove. It's like a baseball glove that you can eat. All right, settle down, everybody. Okay. Well, anyway, I hope this was somewhat amusing and entertaining. Again, I am working in a vacuum, folks, and although I don't own a vacuum, I want to again thank all those who do listen. I've been getting some very, very nice feedback from people, and I guess that's that. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. By the time this goes out, Memorial Day weekend may be over. So I hope you have, well, you know what I'm saying. Have a great week. And until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.